have a very important question to ask you this morning. If you could choose anyone who ever lived to pray for you, who would it be? Billy Graham? Mother Teresa? Perhaps it could be your mother or your grandmother. Now, let's not forget, Abraham and Moses had special relationships with God. Elijah called on God to defeat the prophets Baal and Asherah in 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 18 to 46. If you haven't read that, you should read it today. The apostles Peter and Paul called on the Lord many times to heal people. How about Jesus himself? The entire 17th chapter of the Gospel of John is a prayer that Jesus prays and is as much for all of us as it was for the apostles. I'm going to ask you this morning to open your pew Bible to page 1679. We're going to walk together through this prayer in John chapter 17. Remember, if you will, that Jesus is still in the upper room. This is part of the Last Supper. And he begins this prayer thanking the Father for revealing the truth through him of his word and helping him to complete the work that he's been given by the Father to do. Let's go to verse 11, right here on page 1679. Verse 11, that was the last verse of our gospel today. Verse 11 says, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. This high priestly prayer is made up of four special requests by Jesus of the Father. In verse 12, Jesus says his first request, that we would be protected and in unity. Jesus prayed, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. Jesus asked the Father to protect and bring unity, a sense of oneness to us. Now, please keep in mind, Jesus is not praying for uniformity, that we all dress the same on Sunday mornings and we do the very same movements or rubrics and we follow it that way. But instead, he asks for unity, that the church might believe in him and walk together in that truth. You know, I've got to tell you that since being here in Douglas, on your behalf, I'm a member, we are members of the Coffee County Ministerial Association. Every Wednesday morning, we gather in the Baptist Church in the old meeting hall, and we share with one another what's going on. We share the Word of God. The month of May has been my month to share and teach every Wednesday morning. And it has been a tremendous blessing because I don't have to worry who the audience is. I don't have to worry if they believe the same thing I do. I don't have to worry if John 14:6 is a hotbed of coals. I know that each one of these pastors, both men and women, believe the gospel of Jesus Christ to be true and inerrant. They believe the Bible to be inerrant. How wonderful that is. That's what Jesus was praying for. Now, just think about parts of a car. Parts of a car are united, each of them giving up their individual qualities so that the car may work as a whole. If the battery decides not to work, what happens? Dead car. Christ was praying for unity, not uniformity. Then he prays in verse 12, while I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture would be fulfilled. In spite of the loss of Judas's betrayal, Jesus wanted the apostles to be in one accord for the purpose of being united in ministry that he has charged them and charged us with, to being the truth of his gospel to the world so that everyone might believe. Jay read from the first chapter of Acts this morning what Jesus said. And by the way, you know the timing of this is that it's Jesus walked the earth for 40 days. 40 days not from Passover, but 40 days from his resurrection. So there's 7 days left until Pentecost. 1 week before Pentecost, Jesus told the disciples these words: "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Just before that, he said, "You will receive the Holy Spirit in just a few days." 7 days. Good Lord, receive the Holy Spirit, our protector, our counselor, our comforter, so that we might be in one accord and that we would have the courage to share the gospel with others. If you would, please look at verse 15. In verse 15, Jesus prays, "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one." Throughout Jesus' ministry, he took the enemy head on to protect those he loves. For example, the woman at the well, the demoniac in the Gadarenes who proclaimed himself as, or themselves as, legion, the demon-possessed man in Capernaum, and others. Jesus does not want believers to be bullied and pushed around by Satan. And now he asks the Father to give that same protection so that it would be possible to win the battle with sin and Satan and live victoriously in Christ. And that protection would come through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, free to be in people the very moment Christ took his last breath and the temple veil was torn in two, not from bottom to top as man would rip it, but from top to bottom as only God could rip it. Jesus' second request of the Father, Jesus requests that his joy would fill them, and continues saying that the prayer he is praying is being heard by them so that they might be filled with his full measure of joy. Now, most of the prayers that Jesus prayed were not written down by the apostles and were most likely prayed in solitude. Remember, he would go to the hillside and pray. That was his alone time with the Father. This time, just like Jesus' prayer at the tomb of Lazarus, he wants his words to resound and be carried into the hearts of believers, despite the hate that would be aimed at believers by the world. Jesus delighted in fulfilling the Father's will, and he wants us to have delight, gladness, and joy in our relationship with the Father. I do believe that this is a serious misconception in the world today, that Christians are supposed to be solemn and straight-laced. But here's Jesus asking that those who believe in him would be filled with his joy. Laughing is not taboo. Smiling is not unforgivable, let alone singing. We're given that joy, and it should radiate in Christians' faces. The light of Christ's love should shine. Last week I was talking about that old hymn, "And they'll know we are Christians by our love." We reflect his love. The truth is, living for Jesus offers the highest pleasure in life. Now, for Jesus' third request, let's move on to verses 17 to 20. Jesus prays to the Father, asking for him to sanctify them by the truth. "Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message." Folks, I think it's very important for us to understand the meaning of the word sanctified. It means set apart for sacred use. In the very same way that God used the holy ground of Mount Sinai and told Moses to take off his sandals because he was on holy ground, so that he could reveal and declare himself to Moses as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to all the Israelites. And like in the temple with the Holy of Holies, God wants to use us to bring him glory. Jesus was set apart to bring glory to the Father, and so he asked the Father to set us apart so that we would do the same. Jesus also wants his believers to be kept out of the prison of sin so that the world would know that God is in control. Jesus wants them kept in unity and love to show the world that Jesus' believers, Christians, are different. His complete love for us, and that he would go to the cross for each one of us, will be the method to give us joy and gladness. That can be shown to the rest of the world, showing them that we have what they're looking for. Jesus wants all believers sanctified so that his beauty can come through the outer layer of our humanity. Look at verses 21, 22, and 23. You're doing great. Verse 21, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved me, even as you have loved me. Jesus' fourth and last request is for our eternal place with him. It's in his prayer at verse 24. In verse 24, he says, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Jesus always was and always will be. Wow. I don't know about you, but just hearing Jesus say, I want those you have given me to be where I am, it just brings back to me the words earlier that evening that Jesus spoke to the disciples, as recorded in John 14:3. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back to take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Wow, that excites me. I can't help it. Very thought of spending eternity with Jesus in heaven. And Jesus says that he wants us to share that promise with others. Verses 25 and 26. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Wow. Jesus lets the apostles and us hear his hope for mankind. And I find it so amazing that Jesus spent some of the final moments that he had on this earth in his human life praying for and interceding on behalf of all believers, not just those that were present in the room, and expressing his hope for all humanity. These requests should give us a hope and a future. And they take me right to the words that God himself spoke through the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 29:11, where he says, For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. I'm humbled by Jesus' love for us, and I know that the hope that comes from this prayer that Jesus prayed on our behalf. Creator of the universe took the time to pray for our protection and unity, that his joy would fill each one of us each and every day, for us to be set apart for sacred use, sanctified, and that we would come to the place that he's prepared for us, that we may be where he is. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that your love for us is so amazing that I want to make these requests a part of my daily prayer life and practice as well. And I can only do that with God's help. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.